ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे। मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वधा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम्। भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो। नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःख शमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम्। जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेषु विज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदा य आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयाम्। तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि। धर्म प्रोजित कैदवोत्र वरमो निर्मल्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्रयोन्मूलनम्। श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वा परे ईश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यते त्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तक्षणाल्। निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं भरं शुकमुखादमृतं द्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमजुहाव पुत्रैति तन्मयदय तरवोऽभिनेदो तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिदिदीर्षदां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासतोनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम्। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भणां मुरारे मधुरेण कनिकापि कापि गावीम्। नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्याश्लेषधारिणी। नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्याश्लेषधारिणी श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वन्दे नन्दं व्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासं हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं श्रीगोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्ख कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we were discussing last Sunday the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh chapters of the second canto. These three chapters combinedly is known as the discussions between Lord Brahma and Narada Rishi, Sri Narada Muni and Lord Brahma's discussions. In some ways it's referred to as Brahma Narada Samvada, the discussions between Lord Brahma and Sri Narada Muni. This is the first time in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam in a condensed form was given to Narada Muni by Lord Brahma. So, in those three chapters are important for this reason, that how Sri Narada Maharshi received Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Brahma, that is the topic of discussion in those three chapters. And that's why it's known as Brahma Narada Samvada. So, in that chapter, at the end, Lord Brahma mentioned to Sri Narada Muni that so many things were discussed about the little bit about creation, and eventually Lord Brahma said that what is Srimad Bhagavatam? He mentioned to Narada Muni that Srimad Bhagavatam is the story of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who came down to this world at different times in the history, in different forms, and presented the absolute knowledge from the spiritual world to the human society. And when it was done, on the same time, different personalities in this world, in this mortal world, took advantage of these different incarnations, and by glorifying and by worshipping the different incarnations, great sages and great kings at the same time were able to cross over the illusory energy of Krishna, which is Maya. So Maya was discussed, and mentioning about it was said there that this Maya, which is Krishna's energy, illusory energy, which brings us a lot of difficulties in this material world, or which actually keeps the living entity in this material world to continue with its illusory activities, that is known as Maya. And it is this Maya, getting over out of this Maya is the most difficult thing. We talk about Maya a lot. We say, oh, this is Maya, that's Maya. But how much we understand Maya? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, Devihyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mame vayam prabadyande maya medam tarandidem. Krishna says that Devihyesha gunamai, this Maya has actually it has actually three ways of influencing us, and that is Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. It is Gunamai. That's in other words, the three gunas are the agents of Maya. Maya's way, Maya, how Maya controls us is these three ropes, which is known as Sattvam, goodness, passion and ignorance, or Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. So through Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the agency of Maya, controls us very, very strongly. Devi Hesha Gunamai. And what kind of Maya? Krishna is saying, Mama Maya Duratyayam. So Krishna says that this Maya is very, very difficult to get over. It is so difficult to cross over this Maya. What to talk about understanding spirit, understanding the absolute truth. So unless one get over this Maya, it is impossible for one to understand Krishna. That is the difficulty. Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vayam Prabadyande Maya Medam Tarandidem. But one, Krishna says there, that one who is able to surrender to Him, surrender to Krishna and completely take shelter of Krishna, such a person can cross over Maya. So Krishna has given a statement like that in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, but we may understand that, oh, now that we have all surrendered to Krishna so nicely, we will all be able to cross Maya. But that surrender is very much a matter of degree. The understanding that Krishna's words are not simple words. It has a lot of deep meaning behind it. That when Krishna says, surrender unto me, Mame vayam prabadyande, Maya medam tarandide. One who surrenders unto me, he can get over this Maya. This is what Krishna says. So, in relationship to that, Lord Brahma, while talking to Parikshit Maharaj, mentioned about those great personalities who were able to cross over Maya by virtue of Krishna's mercy. So, receiving Krishna's mercy is the most important thing. Unless one has the mercy from the Supreme Lord, from Krishna, one cannot get out of this Maya. That is a known fact. And Krishna also says, Maya medam tarandidi. That is the only way one can cross over. So, Esham Sayesha Bhagavan Dayedananda. It says in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, Esham Sayesha Bhagavan Dayedananda Sarvatman Ashravado. That only by completely surrendering to Krishna, only by completely taking shelter of Krishna, one can, that he can cross over this Maya. That otherwise it is not possible. So, Esham se Esha Bhagavan Dayedananda Sarvatmana Ashravado Adi Nirveligam Te Dustaram Adi Dustaram Dharendija Deva Mayam Nisham Mama Hamidi Vishu Sargala Vakshem. It says there that these personalities, Brahma gives a list of people there, some of the great sages and some of the great saintly kings. These are the people who are mentioned in this list, who managed to come out of this Maya by Krishna's mercy. So naturally that list was automatically mentioned there by Lord Brahma. So in that list, Sarva Atmana Shudavado Yadi Nirvyaligam Te Dustaram Adidarandija Deva Mayam Nisham Mamaham Idi Dhi Shusrgala Bhakshim. That what has happened to all these great personalities? How did they cross this Maya? Because by the end of their pursuit for spiritual life, they have come to the point of understanding, Naisham Mamaham Iti Dhi Shusraga Alabakshem. Their point was such that me and aham, me and mine, that concept has completely gone away from them. That was their realization. That they have come to that point of realization, Naisham Mamaham Iti Dhi Shusraga Alabakshem. And not only that, their intelligence was such an extent purified that in their realized state of existence, they were able to see that Sraga Ala Bhakshe, that this material body is nothing but a food for the dogs and the foxes. So this realization is a very higher understanding that one who has crossed over the Maya can understand these things. Normally, in the conditioned state, the living energy is just busy in its bodily activities like eating, sleeping, sex life, indifference. This is the normal activities of the conditioned soul. But when a little bit of understanding comes, spiritual understanding comes, the living entity is able to wake up to some extent. But still, freeing oneself from the bodily concept of life, freeing oneself from the conditioned state is not an easy thing. That is what it says there. And therefore, when you look at the list of the kings and the saintly personalities mentioned there, you will find that they all had succeeded in doing that only by their strong austerities and penances and eventually by the mercy of Krishna. Without the mercy of Krishna, it's not possible. That's why Brahma said to Narada Muni. And in that list, it was also mentioned there, Ikshvaku Ayala Mujukunda Videha Gari Reghu Ambarisha Sagara Nayana Gaya Nahushadyam Manda Dalarka Shadadhananu Rendi Deva Deva Brada Veli Amurtareyo Dinivam Saubhagyudangashvi Devala Vipaladha Sarasvat Uddhava Parashara Bhurishenam Yeni Vibhishana Hanuma Upendra Datta Partha Ashtishena Vidura Shuddha Deva Vanyaha. So these are all the list. If you look, take that list very carefully and study every personality who is mentioned there, who crossed over Maya by Krishna's mercy, you can see that what their life was, what kind of life they led. And even those great, great kings who were emperors of this planet, like Ikshvaku, Raghu. Raghu is known for his, because in Raghu's dynasty, that Lord Ramchandra has appeared, therefore he is called Raghava, because of Raghu's dynasty. Krishna's, Lord Ramchandra's father was Dasharatha. Dasharatha's father was Aja, and Aja's father was Raghu. So this Raghu in the solar dynasty became such a popular king, and not only popular, that his administration was so great that the Raghuvamsham, it was called. In other words, the whole dynasty was given under his name, and that is came to know as Raghuvamsham. And Kalidas wrote this great book, Raghuvamsham, about him. And that Raghu, who was the great grandfather of Lord Ramchandra, it is that dynasty is glorified because of his presence. Now this Raghu, even him, after ruling this planet for so many years, left that administration, went back to the forest, and glorified Krishna, and with Krishna's mercy crossed over the Maya. So that is the amount of sacrifice these great personalities have made in going back home, back to Krishna. So Ikshvaku Aila Muchakunda Videha Ghadi Regu Ambarisha Sagara Gaya Nahushadyam Mandha Dalarka Shadadhanu Anurandi Deva Deva Brada Beli Amurtareyo Dilipam. So these are all the persons. Ikshvaku, Island, Muchakundan, Videha, Gadi. Like that the list goes on and on. Saubharyudanga, Shibi, Devala, Pipalada, Saraswada, Uddhava, Parashara, Bhurishena, Enye, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Upendra, Datta, Partha, Ashtishena, Vidurashuda, Devavaryaha. So even that list, you will also see the names of Vibhishana, Hanuman, Arjuna, Vidura, and also Uddhava. All these Krishna's devotees are all listed there in that. They were all Krishna's devotees. Uddhava was Krishna's devotee. And also Arjuna was Krishna's devotee. And similarly, Shudadeva. Shudadeva was a Brahmana whom Krishna has handed over liberation in a play to him before he left this planet. So like this, all these great personalities, they glorified Krishna. They were able to cross over the Maya was Krishna's mercy. So it is interesting to read the list of these personalities and their life, how much energy they have spent and how much they sacrificed to come to this realization of the Absolute Truth. So this is how that particular chapter of the ends. And then Sri Narada Maharshi was instructed by Brahma to present Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the story of all these great devotees and all incarnations of Krishna, all incarnations of the Supreme Lord. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, in three chapters, Lord Brahma gave that to Narada Muni. That is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam it comes. In three chapters, it was given to Lord Narada Muni by Brahma. But when this was given to Narada Muni, Brahma also put this condition that Idam Bhagavatam Namam, this is the name of Bhagavatam, that this Bhagavatam is full of the stories of these great personalities. Yenme Bhagavadodidam. This was spoken to me by Krishna himself. And Sangrahoyam Vibhudinam. That all I have done is, I have done in a very condensed form, I have given this to you. This is what Brahma said to Narada. Sangrahoyam Vibhudinam. Tomedal Vibhuli Guru. Take this with you and expand it to your liking. And while expanding this, there is only one condition. I will attach one string attached to that. What was that string? Yadha Harer Bhagavati, that if one is hearing from you about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, ultimately it should develop a little bit of faith, a little bit of devotion, and a little bit of love for the Supreme Lord. If these three things are happening to the person who is hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then the effort is worthwhile. So it is with this understanding that Lord Brahma gave Srimad Bhagavatam to Narada Muni. Yadha Harer Bhagavati Mranam Bhaktir Bhavishyati. Somehow the other, a little attachment to Krishna, a little love for Krishna, and little devotion to Krishna, and little faith in Krishna as the Supreme Lord. If that develops in the heart of the listener, then that effort is worthwhile. Yadha Harer Bhagavati Mranam Bhaktir Bhavishyati. Somehow the other, bhakti should happen. Sarvalpinnahiladharam iti sangalpavarnaya. That everything, the basis of everything in this material and spiritual, everything is Krishna. The ahiladharam. Sarvalpinnahiladharam iti sangalpavarnaya. And he gave this mandate to Sri Narada Muni, take this Srimad Bhagavatam, what I have given to you, take it from now and go and expand it and speak to everybody about Krishna. And then Narada Muni left Lord Brahma's planet, and later on it was at that time he met Vedavyasa Maharshi in his morose condition in the Badriyashram, where Srinarada Maharshi instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi expanded that, what Narada Muni got from Brahma, he expanded and gave it to Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi expanded that further into the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam and gave it to his son Sukadeva Goswami. So that is how Bhagavatam came here. But before that happened, something else happened in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Srinarada Maharshi heard all these things from Lord Brahma, and when the story was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj was very inquisitive to know about all the incarnations. He got such a strong desire at that point, he wanted to hear everything about all the incarnations. So instead of asking directly to Sukadeva Goswami like that, he has used a very clever way. He put the things to Parikshit Maharaj, put it in a very nice way to Sukadeva Goswami. He mentioned to Sukadeva Goswami that you have mentioned about all these things, how Lord Narada Muni received the Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma. And this Bhagavatam is the story of all the incarnations and all the great devotees who have crossed Maya with the help of Srimad Bhagavatam. But I would like to know one thing, Parikshit Maharaj said. At what stage did all this happen? In other words, can you tell me from the very beginning how this has all developed into this situation? In other words, from the very beginning of the creation, right up to this point, he wanted to hear the whole history of this universe, history of this whole creation. This is how Parikshit Maharaj put that question. So naturally, a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, when he is talking about creation, he is not going to talk about all the sightseeing things in there. What he will talk about is Krishna's incarnations and those incarnations whom had been worshipped by different devotees. So naturally, Parikshit Maharaj knew very well that the story that he will receive from Sukadeva Goswami will be nothing but the story of Krishna in different incarnations and the devotees. So knowing very well, Parikshit Maharaj put all sorts of questions to Sukadeva Goswami, one whole chapter. And that is the next chapter, which is the 8th chapter in the 2nd canto. And this chapter is full of questions from Parikshit to Srishugan. And the whole about 30-35 verses continuously questioning Srishugan. How did this happen? How did that happen? He wanted to know about the creation. He wanted to know about mountains, lakes, rivers, everything. All the great personalities who have come here about Maya, about soul, about the matter, about the material elements. There is nothing what Parikshit Maharaj has excluded in that chapter. So many questions he put forward to Srishugan. So, because Parikshit Maharaj put all these questions to Srishugan, that particular chapter is known in the Shastra as Prashnavidhi. Prashnavidhi means questions, number of questions, completely inquiries, that's all. So the 8th chapter in the 2nd canto is Prashnavidhi, full of questions from Parikshit Maharaj to Srishugan. So all these questions were asked in the 8th chapter, and in the 9th and 10th chapter, Srishugan is answering those questions. And in that process, Sukadeva Goswami also had to mention about the origin of, from the beginning of the creation, that originally there was only Krishna, and from Krishna came Krishna, from the process through Lord Brahma, right up to all the living entities, different entities, all this creation process was explained in those two chapters in a descriptive form that Parikshit Maharaj was able to understand the history behind it. So Lord Brahma Sukadeva Goswami mentioned to Parikshit Maharaj that Lord Brahma glorified, Lord Brahma was actually Krishna himself expanded into that form. So when Krishna's from navel, that lotus flower came in, and in that Lord Brahma appeared. That after appearance of Lord Brahma, when he looked around, he couldn't see anything. All he could see was water everywhere, nothing else. And in that condition, Lord Brahma could not understand the purpose of his presence there, or he could neither understand what he was meant to do. But Brahma is Krishna. Krishna has expanded himself as Brahma. It is Brahma is also incarnation of Krishna. And this Lord Brahma, from that point, Lord Brahma wanted to know what was the purpose of him being created, or who he is, who am I, where have I come from, what is my position. He looked around so much that he couldn't find anything except water, and that is why Lord Brahma was situated in the middle of this lotus flower. So in that condition, while looking around, he had these four heads were born for Lord Brahma. In four directions he looked and he had the four heads born for Lord Brahma. But he still he couldn't find anything. And it was in that condition he has to wanted to understand who he is himself. So he performed, when he was in that situation, suddenly from the sky he heard these two words which were spoken, Tapa and Tapa. Tapa Tapa, that was the two words which were spoken. Divyam Sahasrabdham Amogha Darshanam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is says like that, that performs penances, perform penances. This is what it meant, Tapa Tapa. That was the instruction from the sky to Lord Brahma. So Brahmaji understood, Lord Brahma understood that what is expected of him, that instead of searching for everywhere what he is, rather he should sit there and perform his penances. So he started meditate. He started thinking and completely penances he started performing. Divyam Sahasrabdham Amogha Darshanam, that it is thousands of demigod years that he has performed this austerities there in that lotus flower where Brahma was situated. So while Brahma was in that condition, it took thousands of years, which means that our 6 months is a day for the demigods and our 6 months is one night for the demigods. So in other words, our 1 year is one day for them. So similarly, if you calculate 365 days of demigod days makes 1 year for them. And thousands of years like that, Brahma has performed those penances to understand his own position, what he is. This is Brahma has done. So eventually, at the end of that long period of time of penances, Brahma eventually found that he has reached in the Vaikuntha planet. That is where he arrived. So Brahma realized that he is in the Vaikuntha planet where he was able to meet Lord Narayan there, who was actually situated there. And Lord Brahma was received. Lord Brahma reached the Vaikuntha planet. So when the Supreme Lord saw him, that he instructed Brahma to continue begin the process of creation. That is how Brahma was instructed by the Supreme Lord to begin the process of creation. And to do that, Lord Narayan took Brahma's hands and shook the hands. So while shaking the hands, the Sarga Shakti or creative potency actually was transferred from the Supreme Lord's hand to Brahma's hand, and Brahma got the creative power or the power to create the living the whole material world. So this is how the process of creation begins. And Brahma, when he was given this instruction to start the process of creation, he continued that activity, but he had a lot of doubts to ask to Krishna before he started this creation. So his doubts were this, that if I create all these living entities, if I start this process of creation, and if all these living entities are born, then all these living entities will be my children, will they not? This was the question Brahma asked Krishna. First question he put forward to the Lord, that will they not be my children? Krishna said, yes, they will be your children. So does that mean that if these children, when they grow up, it is like the concern of Brahma is our Lord, Supreme Father, as he is, the actually creator in that sense, that he has compassion for us also. So when he thought that, if these my children are going to suffer in this life, after they are created, they will come to this world according to their karma vasana. In other words, according to their propensities and their karma, they have to accept different bodies. They will take those different bodies. But all that is going to happen is that they will be constantly in trouble with their life. And will that not affect me? This was the Brahma's question to Krishna. So when this question was put forward, Krishna answered him that whatever you have created, they will be your children. And if they suffer, you will also have to suffer. There is no doubt about it. This is how Brahma was given the advice by the Supreme Lord. Where Krishna gave these instructions to Brahma that if you create and if you have the children born and those children, if they suffer, you will also suffer along with them. That's natural, isn't it? So in the same way, Brahma was also given this word by Krishna that he will also have to suffer. So if that is the case, what's the point in continuing this creation? This was Brahma's question. Brahma's question, if that is there, if I have to suffer, then why should I continue this? Ultimately, it's all, Brahma is not stupid, Brahma is an intelligent person, that he was able to think like this. And he was able to ask this question to Krishna, that you are asking me to do all these things. Okay, start the creation and giving me all the ability to do that. But at the end of the day, I am going to suffer out of it. What's the point in doing it? So this was Brahma's doubt in his mind. Krishna said to Brahma at that point, alright, I will give you some protection. But if you utilize it, you can come out of that without being affected by it. And that is how Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it's just like this, that example is given like that. When we cannot touch certain things, we put gloves on in the hand, isn't it? And we continue with our work. Certain, sometimes some chemicals, if we have to touch, we can't touch it. So at that time we put gloves on the hand and then we touch it with that. So similarly, Brahma was given Srimad Bhagavatam just like these gloves. Krishna said to Brahma, take the Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and continue creation. And Srimad Bhagavatam will protect you from any problems that can happen. This is how Krishna has instructed Brahma. So, but then the problem came that this Brahma was saying that this creation process, which is virtually in our case, it is householder life, isn't it? Householder life means the process of creation for the living entity. Srimad Bhagavatam and householder life won't go together side by side. That will also not work. So Brahma also had the same problem when he was told that you should start creation and you should study Srimad Bhagavatam also together with that, along with that. Brahma said that's also not going to work, because it is never in the history it has happened that either the householder life will not go properly or studying Srimad Bhagavatam will not go properly, or neither of them will go happily. So this is the problem, that Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Srimad Bhagavatam and practicing Srimad Bhagavatam in one's life and executing householder life along with that is not easy, it's not possible. And Brahma sensed that immediately and mentioned that straight away to Krishna, that how can I do that, this process of creation one side and the other side studying Srimad Bhagavatam and trying spiritual life. And we can see that what happens at the end. Either Srimad Bhagavatam will win or householder life will win, or we will miss both of them. So this is what happens to most of the people. So anyway, Brahma was given this understanding by Krishna, that just like, although Bhagavatam was given as a protective cover, like a glove, for Brahma to create, just like sometimes people who are very familiar with it will know, when you cut the jackfruit, inside the jackfruit there is a sticky stuff. And normally women, when they cut this vegetable in the kitchen, they will put some oil in their hand before they further cut that vegetable, because they know that it will stick. So if you put the oil on the hand, you can protect yourself from getting affected by that sticky thing in the jackfruit. So similarly, there are so many other vegetables also where you have similar problems. So something similar to that, Brahma was given Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna said to Brahma, take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and continue creation, you will be alright. But Brahma again got this doubt that Srimad Bhagavatam and this creation business, will it work together? This doubt came to him. So immediately Brahma said to Krishna, it is not possible for me to do that. He said, I don't think it will work for me, because Bhagavatam is so valuable thing. If I take to Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't think I can continue creation. Or if you tell me that I should only cut process of creation, I should continue, then I may have to give up Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna said to him, don't worry about it. I will give you another solution to that problem. So in that point, Krishna gave Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma in four verses. And these four verses is actually the seed of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from these four verses, it is these four verses how Krishna has given Bhagavatam to Lord Brahma. We saw earlier, Brahma gave to Srinarada Maharshi Bhagavatam in three chapters, a little bit more expanded. But Brahma received Srimad Bhagavatam from Krishna in four verses. And that is known in the Bhagavatam as Charishlogi Bhagavatam. Or these four verses is the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is very, very complex verses. And it is very, very difficult to understand also. And great, great devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna has expanded these verses for our understanding. And still, it is some of the most difficult verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Chadashlogi Bhagavatam, only probably Brahma could understand that, not for living entities like us. But Brahma was able to understand. But there also there is an interesting thing. Brahma has four heads. We have only one head, but Brahma has four heads. So normally, if you have to chant all the four verses, it takes, if you say about 12 seconds per verse, it takes 48 seconds for us. But for Lord Brahma, because he has got four heads, he can chant all the four verses at the same time, and with the result that it only takes him 12 seconds to chant the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Brahma's great benefit, what he has received from Krishna. So Krishna told him, take this Chadashlogi Bhagavatam, the four verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and with the help of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can continue the process of creation. That is how the Srimad Bhagavatam came to Lord Brahma from Krishna, and that Bhagavatam, Brahma, always resides in this process of creation. But at the same time, in the Vedavyasa Maharshi also kept a message for the householders of this world, that householders are generally in the Lord Brahma situation in this world. Normally they are in the process of creation, and they also have a similar situation always encountering in this world, because just like Lord Brahma has caught up in this situation, the householders also. So the Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, take Srimad Bhagavatam before entering into householder life. Householder life will not destroy you. Otherwise, if you give up Srimad Bhagavatam and get into householder life without understanding what Bhagavatam says, then there is a chance that you will not come out of it again. So this was the message Vedavyasa Maharshi through Lord Brahma was giving us, that message to the householders, that before entering into householder life, take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and study Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you have completely understood or completely assimilated Srimad Bhagavatam, then get into householder life. Householder life will not destroy you. Householder will not disturb you. So this message Vedavyasa Maharshi kept through this Chadashlogi Bhagavatam and the story of Lord Brahma to the householders of this world. So that is how the ninth chapter finishes there. And when these verses were spoken, this Chadashlogi Bhagavatam, or the four seed verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam were spoken. And it is a very, very highly philosophical verses. And sometimes it is very difficult to present it also. It is so difficult to present it also because of the complexities of the explanations in the explanations of it. And even great acharyas, they are even puzzled by these four verses that Krishna managed to pack up so much spiritual knowledge into it. Ahameva samevagri nanyadil sadasalparam. Then Krishna says that a living entity in this world, from the very beginning, has to understand that at the time of creation, before the process of creation, it's only Krishna who existed. It is something very difficult to understand from our tiny brain, that we cannot perceive this, that in the beginning there was only Krishna. And in the end, after the whole thing is dissolution happens, or the final devastation happens in this world, ultimately what remains is only Krishna. So Krishna exists in the beginning and Krishna exists at the end. And in between all these, first what we see in this world happens. We come here and we go through so much of experiences, our own experiences, we give great importance to it, and we consider that our experience is very, very valuable. But from the, if you go through these four verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying there certain fundamental things, fundamental in the sense that a personality who has, or the living entity who has accepted Krishna's instructions are absolute, can understand that it's a completely different dimension to the spiritual life and to the material world as well. So the living entity can see there, ahameva sameva agre, before beginning of creation, before the beginning of all these things what we experience in this material world, it was only Krishna who existed. And after all the devastation that happens, and all the process of creation and everything, and so much of interaction of the modes of material nature, material elements, so many things what comes in and goes out a time and again, these are all actually from the very beginning, after the process of creation begins, Maya comes in there. And it is in the Maya's world that all these functions are happening, what we experience is here. And in the end, who exists? Only Krishna exists. Everything else between is continuously changing. So from there, you can understand what Maya is. Maya means actually anything that takes birth, grows for some time, start producing its byproducts, start dwindling and eventually decaying and death. So anything in this material world which goes through the six different phases of transformation from one to another, which takes birth, grows for some time, eventually start producing byproducts and start decaying and eventually death, which experiences this what is known as the different transformations of that product that is considered to be Maya's potency, Maya's creation. And that is how it is. And none of them has any. This is all things what has been created from Maya, from the living entity has created. So this particular understanding is necessary. Why? Because normally if you ask an ordinary person in this world, he will answer, a person who is not spiritually involved or who is not concerned about spiritual life, his understanding generally will be, I am temporary. I am temporary, but this material world is permanent. This is how we understand, because we come here at some point in time, we live here for some time in this world and we disappear from this world. This is our position. We don't have also a permanent existence here. So we take it that we have a temporary existence, whereas this material world seems to exist here forever. That's the way we perceive it in this short time. So generally, the perception among the living entity is that we are temporary and this material world or this planet Earth is permanent here. This is how we understand. But Shastra says exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite Shastra is telling you. Shastra is saying, Bhagavatam is saying to us, you are eternal, we are forever. This material world has no permanent existence, it's temporary. And this opposite view or this opposite understanding has the influence of Maya. So this is how we understand Maya's potency. Maya has strongly put this concept in our mind that we are temporary, material world is permanent. On the other hand, Maya is telling, because of the spiritual understanding, Krishna is telling us, from the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, that we are eternal and this material world is temporary. Just see the difference, the opposing understanding. And this nature of Maya, to create this deluding nature in us, is there in all activities in this world. Anything you touch, you will find this special nature of Maya working against us. And it is inside this Maya that we are struggling along with our intelligence, mind and imperfect senses, trying to acquire some spiritual knowledge. So you can just imagine how much a struggle it is for the conditioned soul caught up in this material world in all sorts of complexities and completely perplexed and baffled with everything, that trying to escape out of it and trying to understand spiritual life and understand the spiritual reality of this world. That Maya's energy, Krishna's energy is known as Maya. This Maya keeps us this strong understanding by the very fact that we think that we are a temporary thing. And that's our understanding, that I come here, I die and go. Then what's it? What else is there to happen? And this material world is always there. You can come back again here and enjoy. But it's not so. That the Bhagavatam says that this material world has come actually. Material elements have been created by Krishna. So this primary process of creation, which is known as Sargam, has come from Krishna. Sargam means that property or that process of creation by Krishna, whereby Krishna has created the basic ingredients. In other words, Krishna has created the five material elements. For example, we can't do anything very much about it. Krishna has to give that primary material elements. Krishna creates a pine tree. What we can do? We can take cut the pine tree and make furniture, beds, and tables, chairs, everything. We can make out of it. But we can't create the pine tree. That pine tree Krishna has to create. So you can see there that the first creation is Krishna. And it is from Krishna's creation that we do the secondary creation, what is known as Visargam. So Sargam is the primary creation which Krishna has created, and Visargam is the secondary creation what we have created. So similarly, if you take anything else, it is the same thing. For example, first thing somebody has created, then we from us, so many other bodily expansions comes out, father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, all these different expansions comes out of us. But original creation is Krishna's creation. So if you analyze it, everything, you will notice there that behind this Maya's energy, Maya has got two different potencies in here. These two different potencies are known in the Shastra as Avaranam and Vikshepam. In other words, Avaranam is known as the covering potency in English, and in the Vikshepam is known as the deluding potency. So why is it called like that? For example, if you have how much Maya has tricked us from the very beginning, you can see that Maya has kept us very tightly under her grips, that you will never be able to come out of it and to understand something beyond our senses, beyond our mind, beyond our intelligence. That is why it is necessary to receive the spiritual knowledge from Krishna only. Not with our help we can manufacture any knowledge. It is not possible. Because why? From the very fact that we have been told from the very beginning that you are temporary, I am permanent. This is how Maya presents this material world to us. So everybody who comes here, at least for the rest of their life, he thinks that I am temporarily here, but I'll be going. But this world will be here, I can come back. But it's not so. That Maya's words are that we are eternal. Why? But then why are we not feeling that? Why we are not feeling that we are eternal? Why? Because the reason for that is we have forgotten our real identity as spirit soul. So you can just see Atma Vismriti. It is known as Atma Vismriti. Atma Vismriti means forgetting the self, what we are. So in these four verses of Charishlogi Bhagavatam, Krishna has spoken to Lord Brahma about our true identity, what we are. But we are not able to achieve that consciousness at any cost. But the truth is there, that you can't deny them. It is Krishna's words. The truth is like that. So that is why it makes it more interesting that these four verses is telling us what we are actually. Ahameva sameva grem. That before anything else, only Krishna has existed. And because Krishna has existed, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we also existed. We also existed along with Krishna. Krishna has, from a very time in Mai Vamsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bodha Sanadana, Manashtanindriyani, Prakritistani Garshadi. That Shiva, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, that living entity is with me all the time. They have been there from the very beginning. And they will be there at the end also. Manashtanindriyani. But then what is happening in between? By his senses and the mind, he is interacting with the modes of nature and is struggling. Prakritistani Garshadi. Then all what's happening is the living entity is busy with the matter in all his existence in this world. But if we accept Krishna's words as true, then we can see that our understanding is false, that we have falsely understood that the matter is permanent and we as temporary. So somehow or the other, we have forgotten our spiritual identity as Atma or the spirit soul, and we have fallen down into the condition of the, so due to the association with the matter. So we have lost that identity of the spirit soul. So when we get back into that condition again, automatically we will forget this, our association with the matter. At the moment, our association with the matter is so strong that we are not able to understand that there is a spiritual existence for the living entity. Even that understanding itself is not coming to us. What to talk of understanding what it is. We can't even understand that such a state exists in life. To such an extent, we have been deluded by Maya. So this Maya's influence is known in the Shastra as Avaranam and Vikshepam. Or in other words, covering potency and the deluding potency. For example, all these things can be explained only through examples. Because if to explain that in words is very, very difficult, but it's easier to understand it through some examples. Just like if you find in the darkness a rope, it is possible that you could misunderstand it as a snake. It is possible that you will think of a rope as a snake. So at that point, one has to understand that one can understand it like this, that the senses have given him a false information. He has misunderstood the rope as snake. That is his one understanding. And second understanding is that he has misunderstood it as snake. That means he has shown that something else as its original form. In other words, originally it is a rope, but he has taken it as a snake. So its true form, original form, was covered by the covering potency. And a false form was given to the living entity by the deluding potency. So covering potency and deluding potency has acted together to confuse this sense, the person who has seen that rope as a snake. So similarly, so many things in this material world, we misunderstand our true identity and we interact with this material world and we get into all sorts of difficulties. So what it says, Krishna says there is that similarly, anvayam vidirekabhyam, yada sarvatra sarvada, That is how Krishna finishes that instructions on the in the Chalashlogi Bhagavatam. Anvayam in Vedrega means what? Anvayam means that the spirit soul, I was discussing this before, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, the three states of existence, the spirit soul is passing through. When it is passing through these three states of existence, what happens to the soul? The soul is always aware that I am in the vacant state, I am in the dream state, I am in the sleeping state. In these three states, the soul has this perception that he is different from the body. So that perception is very strong in us. We see it like that, that even while in the vacant state, I always think, or every one of us thinks, that the body is there and I am there inside. So that means, in other words, me and the body, that separate existence, do come to our realizations. In other words, that differentiation between the soul and the body exists there. When even if you come to the dream state, you still experience the same thing, but in a different form. That you come, the self is still witnessing everything, the soul is witnessing all the dreams. But at the same time, the living entity is experiencing the dream world, what it creates and what it throws at us. We have to experience that in the dream state. And similarly, if you go into the deep sleep also, Sushupti state, the self is actually in a condition where it is not experiencing any of the lower modes of, any of the modes of nature. On the other hand, all the bodily activities, the mind and the senses have become totally inert. And the only thing that's happening is the living entity is completely engaged in the Sushupti or deep sleep state. Still, the living entity is separate from the state of existence. So, these three states of existence, it is known as when the Atma or the spirit soul and the body is separately existing and the spirit soul is aware of the activities of the body, it is known as the Anvayam, Anvayam state. And the Vedrega means, the opposite one is that when it comes out of these three states of existence, soul goes further from that and it comes to the realized state where material body is no more a consideration or material body is not anymore a factor in the calculation. At that point, when he is totally situated on the spiritual platform, when he is completely identified himself as the spirit soul, and it is that condition what is known as Vedregam. So, Anvaya Vedrega Abhyam Yada Sarvatra Sarvada. In this Vedregam, it says here that these are the two levels of existence, what happens to the living entity. Now, this whole thing has been expanded by great devotee scholars to such levels to understand for the ordinary people. And one could get on reading all these from different commentators so that somehow the other, this condensed Chatushloki Bhagavatam can be understood by the living entity. Because this is the three verses. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately trying to take us to. That all the study of Srimad Bhagavatam is only come to this understanding that, but we are not able to stay in that consciousness all the time. Why? Because although we theoretically understand, our consciousness is not able to catch up with that. So this is the problem. So somehow or the other, when by the mercy of Krishna, one comes to that understanding, then he is in the liberated state. This is the definition of liberation. Mukti kyadanyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. That when one comes to the spiritual platform, and one is situated in the spiritual platform, then he is booked, then he is mukti, then it is liberation for that personality. So, like this, Srimad Bhagavatam in that 8th chapter of the 2nd canto talks about the Chalashloki Bhagavatam, and it is at the end of that that Lord Brahma was given this knowledge to, who was given this knowledge, Chalashloki Bhagavatam, and it is spoken there, and at the end that the process of creation has happened. So, when it was given to Sri Narada Muni, this Narada Muni was given this Bhagavatam by Lord Brahma, that he handed that over to Vedavyasa Maharshi. When he handed it over, it had 10 different features in that. That is what it says in the next chapter. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam udaya manvandaram ishanukatha nirodho muktirashraya. This is how Bhagavatam came into existence through Vedavyasa Maharshi. When Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he took this message from Srinarada Maharshi who gave it to him. And he expanded that, and when he expanded that, it has got 10 different features. 10 different features. Sargam, visargam. Atra sargo visargascha, sthanam, poshanam, uti. Manvandaram, ishanukatha, nirodham, mukti, ashayam. So, like that. These 10 different features came to that. So it is there, that, so that is why we say generally that it is on the third canto actually Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Because Srimad Bhagavatam actually, this potency of known as a Sargam. Sargam means the primary creation of Krishna. Krishna's primary creation. In other words, all that you will find in the third canto, all the stories are where Krishna is a part of the whole process. And that is why it is known as Sargam. And Visargam means exactly opposite, where Krishna is not a part of it. It's all done by the living entity, or the kings and the other great personalities of this world. And you will also notice something interesting there. The whole third canto goes very peacefully. Every story in the third canto, if you read, you will find there that everything has got a happy ending. Or in other words, people who were involved in all the incidents mentioned in the third canto, they all had Krishna consciousness as the prime factor. Like Kardama Prajavati, Devahuti Devi, every one of them, all the stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam third canto is full of Vidura's story, Uddhava's story, all of them is particularly referring to that. But if you look into the fourth canto, you will find exactly opposite. That fourth canto, lot of the correct personalities there, they have actually acted in a way which was not proper. Why? Because they didn't want Krishna to be involved in their life. They wanted to keep Krishna out of it. And that is what it is trying to show. The third canto is trying to tell us that without Krishna, nothing is possible. Fourth canto is telling us, if you keep Krishna out of it, what is going to happen? That's why the story of Suruchi, Dhruva Maharaj's story, you find the personality Suruchi, how she had to eventually commit suicide, jump into the fire and kill herself. The story of beginning with Suruchi's Daksha, King Daksha's story. What happened to Daksha? Daksha was such a great personality. He had a seat along with all the Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva in the sacrifice, and eventually he was killed by the agents of Lord Shiva by twisting his head. They took it out because killing by weapon is not allowed in the sacrifice scene. So he was killed by twisting his head, was twisted and taken out, his life was taken out. So all these personalities in the fourth canto, you will notice that they rejected Krishna and they wanted to have their own ideas in the process of creation. So Sargam and Visargam, the third canto and the fourth canto. But first canto and second canto basically talks about the what we have spoken of before, that the first canto is talks about who is actually qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is what is presenting that the person like Parikshit Maharaj, or who has come to the realization that death is waiting at the doorstep to take away one's life, it is that person who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Or in other words, every one of us who know very well that death can approach us anytime and take us away from this world, it is that person who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is for their benefit that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And in the first canto, that is the topic of discussion. Who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam? And it also says about the process of who should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So ideally, a personality like Parikshit Maharaj, who had that degree of renunciation from material life, and a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, who had that the highest degree of renunciation and highest degree of knowledge of the and Krishna consciousness, such a person should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So these two personalities, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, actually represent the best speaker and the best listener. So that is the first canto is presenting to us. And then there is also two more categories of personalities mentioned there. One is between the Srinarayana Maharshi and Vedavyasa Muni, and then Sukadeva Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi. So what is the difference between these three? That is also interesting to think about. Why is that? Vedavyasa Maharshi and Srinarayana Muni, they are also sages, such saintly people. Even they are not given the same position as Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. So this is something very important, because if you look at Sukadeva Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi, the way Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami and the way Shaunaka Rishi listened to Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice something very interesting. That is, Sukadeva Goswami came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages in Naimisharanyam. Shaunaka Rishi said to Sukadeva Goswami that, nice that you have come, we will start Srimad Bhagavatam, would like to hear. It was in a sort of a more of a casual way rather than Parikshit Maharaj's mind, which was burning with desire to hear about Krishna. That burning desire was not there in the mind of Shaunaka Rishi or the sages who were present in the Naimisharanyam. And because that degree of difference between the sages and Parikshit Maharaj, they are not considered to be on a topmost platform like Parikshit Maharaj and Sudeva Goswami. So on the lowest platform they keep Shaunaka Rishi and Sudeva Goswami. On the highest platform they keep Parikshit Maharaj and Sudeva Goswami. So they are on a higher platform, and Shaunaka Rishi and Sudeva Goswami on a lower platform. Now why is that? Where does Narada Muni and Vedavyas comes in there? That's also interesting, because after all, Sri Narada Maharshi got Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma, and Brahma from Narada Muni has handed it over to Vedavyasa Maharshi. And Vedavyasa Maharshi was also wrote Srimad Bhagavatam and handed it over to Sudeva Goswami. But there is a difference there also. The difference is that when Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to write Srimad Bhagavatam, he was feeling depressed. But he was also feeling depressed thinking about the people who are going to come in Kali Yuga and how they are going to suffer. Thinking about them, that means in other words, it is the distress of other people that was causing distress to Vedavyas. Parikshit Maharaj's case, it was his own distress what was actually demanding that he must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see the difference there. When it comes to others' distress making you to think, feeling, getting distressed, it's different than you feeling yourself distressed in your condition. So in Parikshit's case, he was much more burning heart, or burning desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, as a listener is concerned, Parikshit is a higher position than even his own father. Parikshit is higher position than even Vedavyasa Maharshi. That is how it's mentioned. Now, as far as speaker is concerned, Sri Narada Maharshi came to talk to Vedavyasa Maharshi Srimad Bhagavatam. That we know, in a distressed state when Vedavyasa was praying to Krishna to show him the way to come out of this predicament that he was in. That is when Srinarada Muni came and told Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa Maharshi. But here you will find, when Srinarada Maharshi came and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa, now and then Narada Muni went away and came back and again checked whether Vedavyasa Maharshi is doing it okay or not. That we know in the Bhagavatam, we find that. But Sukadeva Goswami did not come like the way Narada Muni came to Vedavyasa. Sukadeva Goswami's arrival on the scene, as we saw in the end of first canto, was such that here is a candidate who is qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. This was very clear in Sukadeva Goswami's head. Here is a candidate who is that Parikshit Maharaj sitting there ready to receive this. So when you give Srimad Bhagavatam to somebody, it should be a person who is also qualified to receive that Srimad Bhagavatam from that personality who gave, like Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami is not a person who will go anywhere and everywhere and distribute Srimad Bhagavatam freely. Unless he knows that the person who receives Srimad Bhagavatam is spiritually qualified to receive that knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, he would not have done that. But when he came, and the way he came, and the way he left, also indicates that his only intention was how to give that ultimate knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj, to talk about Krishna at the time of leaving the body. He did that work, he did that business, and he left immediately from the scene. Although others were looking for Sudeva Goswami, but Sudeva Goswami was not there. So that is Sudeva Goswami, a personality who wanted to take Parikshit Maharaj out of that conditioned state and from his anxiety, and to release him from this material world. And that job he did, and as a great devotee to the Supreme Lord, Sudeva Goswami handed that over to Parikshit Maharaj and left the scene. So you can see from these three categories of the speakers and the listener, where Sudeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is on the topmost platform. And this is what is mentioned in the first canto. In the second canto, basically what mentions about this is the karma, or the living entities, material activities, and the entanglement, karma upasana, and those things are mentioned in the second canto. So with that, the second canto finishes. And generally, these three chapters in the second canto is only talking about the karma. Karma upasana is the most important thing. Then the living entity, when it comes to this material world, he has no idea what he has to do here. And then he comes here and then he makes his own ideas and plans in this world. And he gets influenced by all the people whom he associates with. They give him some ideas somebody tells him that you have to make a lot of money in this world, otherwise you'll never be happy. So he starts working for like an ass from beginning to end with so many different ideas by conning people or whatever way one can do. One does all that, eventually with the hope that he will become happy. This is our life, is it not? Every one of us, if you think our life in reality, it's not much different than that. That most of us are doing so many things in this world without properly knowing what is, it's with the hope that one day we will all become happy. This is the hope behind it. But hope is always a hope. It is hoping against the hope. But it goes on like that. So anyway, that is the way the second canto is actually talking about it, that the living entity's unfortunate condition in this material world where he hasn't got a clue which direction to turn. So when you do not know which direction to turn, you turn in all directions, isn't it? So that's what's happening to all of us. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto is trying to give some guidance and some direction to the living entity to follow, so that he understands what is karma, what is the karmic reactions coming out of it, and how a living entity should take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously before continue with his activities in this material world. So I'll just read those three chapters and then talk. Rajovajam Brahmanacholido Brahman Gunakyani Gunasya Yasmai Yasmai Yadha Praha Narado Devadarshanaha Yadadveda Vichami Tattum Veda Vidam Vara Hare Albhudavidyasya Katha Lokasumangalaha Katha Yasya Mahabhaga Yadaha Makhilalpani Krishne Nivesana Sangam Manasthyakshine Kalevaram Shanvada Shardhaya Nityam Ganadascha Swajeshtiram Karena Nadidirghena Bhagavan Mishade Hrudim Pravishtakam Narendraina Swanam Bhavasaro Ruham Dunodishamalam Krishna Sarila Seyatha Sharal Daugarma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunjani Mukta Sarvabariklesha Panthaswa Sharanam Yatham Yatha Dadamadho Brahman Deharam Bhosyatha Dubi Yadurchaya Hedunava Bhavando Janade Yatham Asidyudaralpatmam Yoga Samsthana Yakshanam Yavanayam Vaipurusham Yattaya Vaipudhak Tavana Savidhi Proktam Samstha Pavayavanivam Ajasrajari Bhudani Bhudatmaya Nugyahal Dudrsheyana Dadrubam Nabi Valpma Samulbhavaha Sajabi Yatra Virusho Vishwaskriti Bhavapaya Muktuatma Maya Mayesha Shede Sarvaguhashayaha Purushavayavaya Loga Sabala Purva Kalpida Logaya Mushyavayava Sabale Ridishishruma Yavan kalpo vikalpo vayatha kalo numiyade udam abhivavachabdham ayurmanam jayal sadaha kalasya anugadilyadu yakshareni brahatyabhi yavatya karmagadayo yadrashir dujasattama yasmin karma samavayo yadhayeno bagrihyade gunanam guninam jayva parinamam abhipsadam bhubadara kubnyomam gahanakshatrago bradam saril samudra divanam sambhavasteta dogasam Pramana Mandagosya Vahyabhyambara Vedada Mahadam Jani Jaridam Varnashama Vinishchayaha Yugani Yugamananja Dharmo Yashya Yuge Yuge Avadarani Jaridam Yudashcharyadam Hare Nranam Sadharano Dharmam Savisheshasya Yadrusha Shreninam Rajashinamja Dhammagachreshu Jeevadam Tatvanam Padisankhyanam Lakshanam Hedu Lakshanam Purusharadhana Vedir Yoga Sadhyatmikasyajam Yogeshwareshwaryagadal-ingam-ingahangasthi yoginam Vedopaveda-dharmanam idihasa-puranayoho Samplavasarabhudanam vikramapradisankrama Ishtapurtasya-gamyanam privargasya-jayovidhim Yashashyashyanishayinam sargapashandasya-jasambhava Alpmanobandamokshavaja vivasthanam swarubadam Yathalpanandro-bhagavan vikredatya-alpamaya Visarjavaya-dhamayam udasthe-sakshivadvibhum Sarvamedaccha bhagavan prichalemeni purvasha tatadorhasya dahartam prapannaya mahamunim Atra pramanam hi bhagavan parameshti yatha almabhu Parejehanu dishtandi purvesham purvajaikradam Mane seva parayandi brahman anashanadami Vibadopyachudapiyusham anyatra kubinadvijal Shri Sudavacham Sa upamandadoratnyam kathayam visalpade Brahmarado brisham prido vishnuyarena samsarim Prahabhagavalam namam puranam brahma samhidam brahmane bhagaval proktam brahma kalpam upagavim yaddal parikshinushavam panduvanam anupurchari anuvurvena talsavam akhyadam upachakrami इति श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे द्वितीय स्कन्धे प्रश्नविधिर्नाम अष्टमोऽध्यायम् श्रीशुक उवाच आल्पमायामृते राजन् परस्यानुभवाल्पन न खडेदार्थसम्बन्धम् स्वप्नद्रष्टविवाञ्जसा बहुरूपमिवाभाति मायया बहुरूपय रममाणोपनेष्वस्य माहमिति मन्यते यखि वावमहिन्निस्वे परस्मिन् कालमाययोः यमेदग्रसम्मोहम् त्यक्तोदास्ते ततोभयम् आत्मदत्तविशुद्ध्यर्थम् यदाहम् भगवामृतम् ब्रह्मणे दर्शयन्द्रूपम् अञ्जलीकम् प्रदादुदाः समाधिदेवो च कदाम्बरो गुरु सुलेष्णमासाय सृक्षयैक्षता ताम् नाध्य गच्छद्विषमात्रसम्मतम् प्रबन्धनिर्माणवीर्यया भवेल् स चिन्तयन् अक्षरमेकदाम्भम् स्तुपाशनोद्युर्गदिजम्बजो विभु स्पर्शेषु यल्षोडशमेकविंशम् निष्किञ्चनानाम् उपयद्धनम् विधो निशम्य तद्वत्र त्रिदक्षयादिशो विलोक्यतत्रानिवदश्यमान स्वदिष्टमास्ताय विमुष्य तज्जिदम् तपस्यमादिष्टमिवाधदेवनाम् दिव्यम् सहस्राब्दमोघदर्शनम् जिदानिराल्पाविजितोभयेन्द्रिय अदप्यतस्माखिल लोकलावणम् तपस्तवीयाम् स्तपताम् समाहिताः तस्मै सुलोकम् भगवान् सभाजिदा सन्दर्शयामास परम् मयल्परम् विभेदसम् क्लेशविमोहसाध्वसम् सुदृष्टवद्भिर्विबुधैरभिष्टुतम् प्रवर्तते यत्र जस्तमस्तयो सत्त्वम् च मिश्रम् न जगालविक्रम न यत्र माया किमुदा परे हरे अनुप्रदा यत्र सुरासुरार्चिताः श्यामावदादाशतवत्र लोचना विषङ्गवस्त्रासुरजसुपेशसा सर्वे चतुर्बाहोन्मिषन्मणि प्रवेगनिष्काभरणा सुवर्चसाः प्रवालवैडूर्यमृणालवर्चसा परिस्फुरल्कुण्डलमौलिमालिनाः राजिष्णुवीर्यपरिदो विराजते लसद्विमानावलिभिर्महात्मनाम् विद्योदमानप्रमदोत्तमाद्युभि सविद्युदभ्रावलिभिजधानभाम् श्रीर्यत्र रूपिण्युगाय पादयो करोदिमानम् बहुधा विभूदिभि प्रयंशिताया कुसुमाकरानुगेर्विगीयमाना प्रियकर्म गायती ददर्श तत्राखिल सत्त्वदाम्पतिम् श्रेयःपदिम् यज्ञपदिम् जगल्पदिम् सुनन्दनन्दप्रबलार्हणाधिभि स्वपार्षदम् मुख्यपरिसेविदम् विभुम् भृत्यप्रसादाभिमुखम् मृगासवम् प्रसन्नः सारुणलोचनाननम् किरीडिनम् कुण्डलिनम् चतुर्भुजम् पीताम्बरम् वक्षसि लक्षितम् श्रिया अध्यर्हणीयासनमास्तिदम्बरम् कृतम् चतुःषोडश पञ्चशक्तिभिः युक्तम् भगै स्वैरत्रजाध्रुवै स्व एव धामन् रममाणमीश्वरम् तद्दर्शनाह्लादपरिप्लुदाम्बरो ऋष्यत्नु प्रेमभराशुलोचन मनामपादाम्बुजमस्य विश्वसु यल्पारहंस्येन पदाधिगम्यते तम् प्रियमाणाम् समुपस्थितम् तदा प्रजा विसर्गे निजशासनार्हणम् भवाशमीषस्मिदशोजिषा गिरा प्रियप्रियम् प्रीतमना करे स्पृशन् श्रीभगवान् वाजाम् त्वयाहम् दूषितः सम्यक् वेदगर्भसि सृक्षय चिरम् हृदेन तपसा दुस्तोषकुलयोगिनाम् वरम् वरे वद्रम्बे वरेशम्माभिवाञ्छितम् ब्रह्मंशय परिश्राम पुंसो मद्दर्शनावधि मनीषिदानुभावोऽयम् मम लोकावलोकनम् यदुपश्रुतिरहसि चकर्तपरमम् तवाम् प्रत्यालिष्टम् मया तत्र त्वयि कर्म विमोहिते तवो मे हृदयम् साक्षात् आत्माहम् तपसो नखाम् सृजामि तपसैवेदम् ग्रसामि तपसा पुनः विभर्मि तपसा विश्वम् वीर्यम् ईदुश्चरम् तव ब्रह्मोवाच भगवन् सर्वभूतानाम् अध्यक्षोऽवस्थितो गुहम् वेदह्य प्रतिरुद्धेन प्रज्ञानेन च निर्षितम् तथापि नाथमानस्य नाथाय नाधिनम् परावरेयधारूपे जानीयाम् पेतुरूपिणाम् यथाल्पा माययोगेन नानाशक्तिपब्रंहितम् विरम्बन् निसृजन् गृह्णन् विभ्रदाल्पानमाल्पनाम् क्रीडस्य मोघसङ्कल्पम् ऊर्णनाभिर्यथोर्नुदि यतथा तद्विषयाम् देहि मनीषाम् मयि माधवाम् भगवच्छिक्षिदमहम् करवाणि हतन्द्रिदा यहमानप्रजा सर्गम् बध्येयम् यदनुग्रहाल् यावल्सखा सख्युरिवेशदे कृदा प्रजा विसर्गे विभजामि मोचनम् अविक्लवस्ते परिकर्मणि स्थितो मामे समन्नद्धमतोजमानिनाम् श्रीभगवान् वाचाम् ज्ञानम् परमौह्यम् मे यद्विज्ञानसमन्वितम् सरहस्यम् तदङ्गम् च तथा न गदितम् मया यावानहम् यथाभावो यद्रूपगुणकर्मद तथैव तत्त्वविज्ञानम् अस्तु देमदनुग्रहान् अहमेवासमेवाग्रे नान्यद्यल्सदसल्परम् पश्चादहम् यदेतच्च यवशिष्येत सोऽस्म्यहम् हृदयर्थम् यल्प्रदीयेत न प्रदीयेत चाल्पनि तद्विद्यादाल्पनो मायाम् यथाभासो यथा तमाम् यदा महन्ति भूतानि भूतेषु चावजेष्वनु प्रविष्टान्यप्रविष्टानि तथा तेषु न तेष्वहम् ഏതാവനേവ ജിജ്ഞാസ്യാം തത്വജിജ്ഞാസുനാത്മന അന്വയവ്യതിരേകാഭ്യാം യൽസ്യാൽ സർവത്ര സർവദാം ഏതന്മതം സമാദിഷ്ട പരമേന സമാധിന ഭവാൻ കൽപ്പവികൽപ്പേഷു നവിമുഹ്യതി ഗ്രഹിച്ചിൽ ശ്രീശുഗവാചാം സമ്പ്രതിശൈവ മനസ് അജനോ ജനാനാം പരമേഷ്ഠിയാം പശ്യതസ്തസ്യ തദ്രൂപം ആത്മനോ അരുണധരീ അന്തർഹിതേന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥായ ഹരേ വിഹിതാഞ്ജലി സർവഭൂതമയോ വിശ്വം സസർജേദം സപൂർവവൽ മഹാഭാഗവതോ രാജൻ പിതരം പരിദോഷയൽ തുഷ്ടം നിശാമ്യ വിതരം ലോകാനാം പ്രവിദാമഹം ദേവർഷീ പരിവപ്രച്ഛ ഭവാൻ യന്മാനുപൃച്ഛതി തസ്മാദം ഭഗവതം പുരാണം ദശലക്ഷണം പ്രോക്തം ഭഗവതാ പ്രാഹ പൈതപുത്രായ ഭൂതകൾ നാരദ പ്രാഹ മുനയെ സരസ്വത്യാസ്തടേനുപേ ബ്രഹ്മപരമം വ്യവസായ അമിതലേജസേ യദുദാഹം ത്വയാ പൃഷ്ടോ വൈരാജാൽ പുരുഷാദിനം യഥാസീത് തദുപാഖ്യാസേ പ്രശ്നാനന്യാംശ്ച കൽസ്നശാം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ ദ്വിതീയ സ്കന്ധേ നാമോധ്യായാം ശ്രീശുഗവാചാം അത്ര സർഗോ വിസർഗശ്ച സ്ഥാനം ഭോഷണമുദയ മന്യന്തരം ഇശാനുകഥ നിരോധോ മുക്തിരാശ്രയാഃ ദശമസ്ത വിശുദ്ധ്യർത്ഥം നോവാനാമിഹ ലക്ഷണം വർണയന്തി മഹാത്മാനം ശുഭേനാഥേന ജാഞ്ജസാ ഊതമാദേന്ദ്രിയനിയാം ജന്മസർഗോദാഹൃത ബ്രഹ്മണോ ഗുണവൈഷമ്യ വിസർഗപ്രവിഷസ്മൃതാം സ്ഥിതിർവൈകുണ്ഠ വിജയ പോഷണം തദനുഗ്രഹ മന്യന്തരാണി സദ്ധർമ്മം ഉദയകർമ്മ വാസനാഃ അവതാരാനുചരിതം ഹരേ ശാസ്യനുവർത്തിനാം സദാമീശഹദാ പ്രോക്തം നാനാഖ്യാനോപബ്രംഹിതാഃ നിരോധോശസ്യ നിരോധസ്യാനിശയം ആത്മനസ്സഹശക്തിഃ മുക്തിർഹ തന്യഥാരൂപം സ്വരൂപേണ വ്യവസ്ഥിതീം ആഭാസശ്ച നിരോധശ്ച ഇതശ്ചാധ്യവസീയതേ സ ആശ്രയപരം ബ്രഹ്മ പരമാത്മേനി ശബ്ദതേ യോധ്യാത്മിയോയം പുരുഷ സോസാവേദാവേവാധിദേവിക യസ്തത്രോഭയവിച്ഛേദ പുരുഷോഹ്യാദിഭൗതികാഃ ായണോ നാമ യഥാപുരുഷോദ്ഭവാഃ ദ്രവ്യം കർമ്മജകാലശ്ച സ്വഭാവോ ജീവ ഏവ ച യദനുഗ്രഹദസ്സന്തി നസന്തി യദുപേക്ഷയാം ഏകോ നാന്യത്വമന്യച്ഛൻ യോഗതൽപാൽ സമുദ്ധിത വീര്യം ഹിരൺമയം ദേവോ മായയാമിസജൽത്രിധാം അതിദൈവോ അതിദൈവമധാധ്യാത്മം അതിഭൂതമിതി പ്രഭു അതേകം പൗരുഷം വീര്യം തൃതാഭിദ്യദർശനു അന്തഃശരീരമാകാശാൽ പുരുഷസ്യ വിജേഷ്ഠിത ഓജസ്സഹോ ബലം ജജ്ഞേ യഗപ്രാണോ മഹാനസൂം അനുപ്രാണന്തിയം പ്രാണാം പ്രാണന്തം സർവജന്തുഷു അപാനന്ദമപാനന്തി നരദേവമിഗാൻ ഇവാനുഗാം പ്രാണേന ക്ഷുപദാക്ഷുതൃ അന്തരാജായതേ പ്രഭോ പിപാസദോക്ഷജക്ഷതശ്ച പാമുഖം നിരഭിദ്യതാം മുഖതസ്ഥാലനിർഭിന്നം ജിഹ്വാ തത്രോപജായതേ തതോ നാനാരസോജജ്ഞേ ജിഹയായോധിഗമ്യതേ വിവക്ഷോർമുഖതോ ഭൂമ്നോ വന്യർഗവാഗ്വാഹൃതം ധയോ ജലേ വൈദസ്സു സുചിരം നിരോധസമജായതാം നാസികേ നിരഭിദ്ധേദാം ദോധൂയതി നവസ്വതി തത്ര വായുർഗന്ധവഹോ ഘ്രാണോ നസി ജഗക്ഷതാം യഥാത്മനി നിരാലോകം ആത്മാനന്ദദൃക്ഷത നിർഭിന്നേഹ ക്ഷണീതസ്യ ജ്യോതിക്ഷക്ഷുർഗുണഗ്രഹാം ബോധ്യമാനസ്യ കഷുഭി ആത്മനസ്ഥ ജീവക്ഷത കർണോജ നിരഭിദ്ധേദാം ദിശശ്രോത്രം ഗുണഗ്രഹാം വസ്തുനോ മൃദുകാഠിന്യം ലഘുഗൂർവോഷ്ണശീതതാം ജിഗ്രക്ഷത സ്തങ് നിർഭിന്നാം തസ്യാം ലോമമഹീരുഹാഃ തത്രാന്തർബഹിർവാദസ്ത്രവാദസ്ത്വജാലബ്ധഗുണോഗതാം ഹസ്തോരുഹൃതസ്തസ്യ നാനാകർമ്മ ചികീർഷയ തയോസ്തു ബലമിന്ദ്രശ്ച ആദാനമുഭയാശ്രയം ഗതിം ജിഗീഷദപ്പാദോ ഉരുഹാദേഭികാമികാം പദ്ഭ്യാം യജ്ഞസ്വയം ഹവ്യം കർമ്മവിക്രിയതേ നൃഭി നിരഭിദ്യദശിഷ്ണോ വൈ പ്രജാനന്ദാമൃതാർത്ഥിന ഉപസ്തമാസീൽക്കാമാനാം പ്രിയം തദുപയാശ്രയം ഉൽസിസൃക്ഷോർദാതുമലം നിരഭിദ്യത വൈകുതം തദവായുസ്തോ മിത്രം ഉത്സർഗമുഭയാശ്രയാഃ ആസിസൃപ്സോ പുരപുര്യ നാഭിദ്വാരമഭാനത തത്രാപാനസ്തോ മൃത്യു പൃഥക്തമുഭയാശ്രയം ആദിൽ സോരന്നപാനാനാം ആസം കുക്ഷന്ദ്രനാഠയ മദ്യസമുദ്രാശ്രയോ സ്തുഷ്ടി പുഷ്ടിസ്തദാശ്രയേ നിധിധ്യാസോരാത്മമായാം ഹൃദയം നിരവിദ്ധ്യത തതോ മനസ്തശ്ചന്ദ്ര സങ്കല്പക്കാമയേവചാം ത്വക്ചർമ വംസരുദിരം ഏതോ മജ്ജാസ്തിധാതവ ഭൂമ്യപ്തേജോമയാസക്ത പ്രാണോ വ്യോമാംഭുവായുഭീം
ഗുണാത്മകാനിന്ദ്രിയാണി ഭൂതാദി പ്രഭവാ ഗുണ മനസ്സർവവികാരാത്മ ബുദ്ധിർവിജ്ഞാന രൂപിണി ഏതൽഭഗവതോ രൂപം സ്ഥൂലം ദേവി ആഹൃതം മയ മഹ്യാദിഭിശ്ചാവരണേ അഷ്ടവിർബഹിരാവൃതം അതപരം സൂക്ഷ്മതമം അവ്യക്തം നിർവിശേഷണം അനാദിമധ്യനിധനം നിത്യം വാങ്മനസപരം അമൂനീ ഭഗവദ്രൂപേ മയാദീമനുവർണിതി ഉഭയബിന ഗൃഹ്ണന്തി മായാ സൃഷ്ടേ വിപശ്ചിത സ വാച്യവാചകതയാ ഭഗവാൻ ബ്രഹ്മരൂപദ്രക് നാമരൂപക്രിയാധത്തേ സകർമാക്രമകപര പ്രജാപതീന്മനൂൻ ദേവാൻ മുഷീൻ പിതൃഗണാൻ പൃഥക് സിദ്ധചാരണഗന്ധർവാൻ വിദ്യദ്രാസുരഗുഹ്യകാൻ കിന്നരാപ്സരസോനാകാൻ സർപ്പാൻ കിംപുരുഷോരകൻ മാതൃരക്ഷപിശാചാംഷ പ്രേതഭൂതവിനായകാൻ കുഷ്മാണ്ഡോന്മാദേവതാളാൻ യാതുദാനാൻ ഗൃഹാനവി ഗഘാൻ മൃഗാൻ പശൂൻ വൃക്ഷാൻ ഗിരീൻ നൃപസരീസൃവാൻ ദ്വിവിധാശ്ചതുർവിധായേഞ്ഞി ജലസ്തര നഭോഗസ കുശലാകുശലാമിശ്ര കർമ്മണാം ഗതയസ്തിമാം സത്വം രജസ്തമൈതി തിസ്രസുരനൃഗാരക തത്രാപ്യൈകകശോരാജൻ ദിദ്ധ്യന്തേ ഗതയസ്ത്രിതാഃ യാതൈകൈകതരോ നാഭ്യം സ്വഭാവമഹന്യതേ സ ഏവേദം ജഗദ്ധാത ഭഗവാൻ ധർമ്മരൂപദ്രൻ കുഷ്ണാദിസ്ഥാപയന്മിഷ്യം തിര്യങ്ങരസുരാത്മവീം തഥകാലാഗ്നിരുദ്ധാത്മാ യൽ സൃഷ്ടമിതമാത്മന സന്നിയച്ഛതികാരേന ഘനാനീകമിവാനില ഇത്തം ഭാവേന കഥിതോ ഭഗവാൻ ഭഗവത്തമ നേത്തം ഭാവേന ഹി പരം ദ്രഷ്ടുമർഹന്തി സൂരയാം നാസ്യ കർമ്മണി ജന്മാദോ പരസ്യാനുവിധീയതേ കർത്തൃത്വ പ്രതിഷേധാർത്ഥം മായയാരോപിതം ഹിതൽ അയം തു ബ്രഹ്മണക്കൽപ്പം സവികൽപ്പമുദാഹൃത വിധിസാധാരണോ യത്ര സർഗാപ്രാകൃത വൈകൃത പരിമാണം ചകാലസ്യ കൽപ്പലക്ഷണ വിഗ്രഹം യഥാ പുരസ്താദ്വാഖ്യാസേ പാൽപം കാൽപം കൽപ്പമധോ ശൃണു ശ്രീശൗനകുവാചാം യഥാഹനോ ഭവാൻ സുധാ ക്ഷത്താ ഭാഗവതോത്തമ ചചാരതീർത്ഥാനി ഭുവ സ്ഥിത്വാ ബന്ധുൻ സുധിസ്ഥിജാൻ കുത്ര കൗഷാരവേസ്തസ്യ സംവാദോധ്യാത്മസംശ്രിത യദ്വാസ ഭഗവാൻ തസ്മൈ പൃഷ്ടസ്തത്വമുവാചഃ ബ്രൂഹിനസ്തമിതം സൗമ്യ വിദുരസ്യ വിജയേഷ്ഠിതം ബന്ധുത്യാഗ നിമിത്തം തഥൈവാഗതവാൻ പുനഃ ശ്രീസുതവാചാം രാജ്ഞാ പരീക്ഷിതാ പൃഷ്ടോ യദവാചോന്മഹാമുനി തദ്വോഭിധാസ്യേ ശൃണുത രാജ്ഞ പ്രശ്നാനുസാരത ഇതി ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണി ദ്വിതീയ സ്കന്ധി ദശമോധ്യായം സോ വിത്ത് ദോസ് ത്രീ chapters. The second canto comes to an end. Second canto comes to an end, and third canto, when it begins, we are going back into Mahabharata again, because it is where Vidura comes back from his pilgrimage, and a lot of discussions happens there. Vidura meets with Uddhava, and Uddhava's instructions to Vidura to go to Maitreya Rishi in Haridwar, and further instructions from Maitreya Rishi to Vidura, all this comes in the third canto. So, in second canto, basically what we have talked about is this message that the living entity in this material world, unless understands the importance of karma, one's own activities, and how these activities will bind him to this material world, unless he is careful about it, and the protection, how the protection was offered to Brahma by Krishna by giving Srimad Bhagavatam, and same message to other living entities also, that if you want to get entangled in this world, keep Srimad Bhagavatam first in the hand. And then if you touch anything, there is a chance so that you may not get hurt by the material world. Otherwise, what can happen, as Bhagavatam says there, is that a living entity can get caught up in this material world and eventually no chance of coming out of that conditioned state. So that's for Srimad Bhagavatam was given to Lord Brahma before the process of creation by Krishna, for the same reason as Vedavyasa Maharshi has given Srimad Bhagavatam to all the people in the age of Kali to take that shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if there's any questions.
You mentioned Lord Brahma was an incarnation of Krishna.
Yes.
But we also understand Lord Brahma's Jiva Tattva
Yes.
So does that not give strength to the Mayavadi impersonalist conception of God?
Yes, as far as the creation is concerned, we accept that just like we are also expansions of Krishna in one sense, that as part and parcel, we are also Krishna's energy. But this Jiva Tattvam and Vishnu Tattvam, this classification is coming only from the point of view that when you understand that, when you are separated from Krishna, we are Jiva. But when you are in relationship with Krishna, as a devotee, you have purified your existence, you are as good as Krishna's qualities are in you, that it develops to such a level that you are, although you are referred to as Jiva, in your qualities you have the same qualities as Krishna to a higher degree in the person. But, so the thing is that Brahma's position is such that Krishna himself, because in the beginning there is only Krishna existed, everyone else has come later, including Lord Brahma. So the first expansion, you can say, of Krishna, or first living entity, what Krishna has created is Lord Brahma. So it begins from there then on. This Jivadatvam, Vishnudatvam is something we have categorized, living entities and different incarnations, into for them to separate us and understand our position from different from them. That's why that difference is mentioned like that.
Why Krishna didn't expand when he gave this stuff to Brahma?
Why Krishna?
The living entity.
Mm-hmm.
Brahma created the living entity.
Actually, Brahma didn't create the living entities. Living entities were created by Krishna. But what happens is that when the living entity finishes their... like if you read the devastation process, you will see there that at the end of day of Lord Brahma, all the living entities goes back to him. And they join him there, and then they leave him again when the night time is over. So the whole long night when Brahma sleeps, that time the living entities are with him there in his control. And when the next day comes, which is of course a very, very, very long period, when the next day comes, again Brahma starts his creation process. And what that creation process basically is, that he releases all those living entities who has come to him back to their conditioned life again. In other words, this living entity has got its track record with him. He's carrying his record with him and staying with Brahma. And as soon as when the night is over and the day starts, Brahma releases them again with their record. Now you can go and continue with your activity further. That's why it says in the Bhagavatam, Srajyam Srajami Srashtoham Ichayai Rabi Jodhida, that what I'm doing is what Krishna has already created and kept in them. All I'm doing is I'm releasing them at the time and accepting them when they come back to me. So in reality, the living entities are actually created by Krishna himself. All what's happening is they are getting different bodies under the control of Brahma. That when Brahma is managing us, we build up our karma, and on the karmic reactions we accept different bodies. But we all mistakenly call Brahma as he has created us, and we blame Brahma for all the problems what we have created ourselves.
So, does the person know that
he's divided? I'm sure he does. Otherwise, it's not. If it is same like us, if he is also like us, then why should we get liberated? Isn't it? The fact that liberated state means it's a completely different consciousness, complete state of existence. Otherwise, there is no point in going through all these efforts, isn't it? So, definitely, liberated consciousness is different than us. A liberated person knows the truth. We don't know the truth. That's where the difference is. That he knows what is the truth. He knows that he has realized it. That's why we say called liberated, isn't it? He has realized the truth. We have not realized the truth. So we are in the conditioned state. The realized person knows how everything is happening, where it's originating from, things what can happen to us if we are not if you are caught up in this material world. All these things are known to the liberated state. In the liberated state, they are aware of that. liberated condition is defined in the scriptures as Satyam, Satchidanandam, Sat Chitan Anandam, eternity, blissful, and knowledge. So he has the complete knowledge of everything. We have no knowledge. We are only reading books and we are talking about it. And sometimes we are speculating also, added to that. So this is our so-called knowledge. But liberated state is not like that. It is pure knowledge. And in addition to that, Satyam is eternal. He is also eternal. He knows his eternal nature. We don't think we are eternal at the moment. At least we are all sure that in a few years' time our eternity will be over. So our eternal nature has no meaning. We have no concept of eternity. But in the liberated state, he is conscious of that eternal nature. That's why it is called Satyam. And it's also he is conscious of Sat, in other words, eternal nature. And Chit, blissful nature. We have no bliss in us. We are only distress, continuously packed up. And that distress sometimes increases or decreases according to time and circumstances. So, whereas in the liberated state, a person experiences bliss. Bliss means happiness from where you don't fall back again into distress condition. The proper way of explaining happiness is, the word used is bliss is right, because in the bliss means actually you don't come back from that again into a disturbed condition. This happiness what we are experiencing is not considered in spiritual terms as happiness. It's only a different degrees of distress what we are experiencing. Somebody is experiencing more distress, somebody is experiencing less distress. But distress is distress at the end for everybody. So there is no difference in that. So this is not the state of existence of a liberated soul. He is Sat Chit Anandam, Satchidanandam as he is referred to.
Was
Vyasadeva felt that at point that he felt the distress of other people when he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. He felt the distress of the other people.
But he
was not liberated at that point when he was in that state, when he was compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, it is difficult to say about Vyasadeva because Vedavyasa Maharshi actually compiled all the Puranas and the Upanishads and other things for the benefit of the human society. And even after compiling them, he felt still there was something lacking in there. That is how his distress came. And his distress is different than the distress what we have. Our distress is all related to our body and our needs. That's our distress. Vedavyasa Maharshi's distress was not like our distress. He was feeling compassion for people like us who are sitting here and worrying day and night and telling them, thinking that this is what's going to be Kali Yuga. And this is what... So, which shows that his distress was a different kind of distress than what we have experienced. So, in that distress condition, Vedavyasa Maharshi felt like compiling Srimad Bhagavatam and then further things happen after that. So, it is not appropriate to call Vedavyasa Maharshi's distress as same distress as ours. That's that four verses, Ahameva Sameva Agri. It begins at the four verses. Prabhupada has given a very elaborate commentary you can read, and it's quite a lengthy explanation, and you've got to be so absorbed in it to understand it fully. And explaining it also is very difficult.
For Chatushloki, he expanded it to 18,000 verses.
No, Chatushloki Bhagavatam was given by Krishna to Brahma. Uh-huh. Brahma gave in the three chapters, uh-huh, which is the 5th, 6th and 7th chapter, uh-huh, of Bhagavatam to Narada Muni. Narada Muni took that and expanded it and gave it to Vedavyas, uh-huh, when he spoke. And Vedavyas took it and expanded that into 18,000 verses. That is how it
does. Yes. Okay.
So, we'll just chant the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshashtakam and we will after that stop. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pradipadam purnam vadaswalanam सर्वाप्नासवनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्ण संकीर्तनं नामनामगारी बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिदान्यमिदा स्मरणेन कालम् एतादृशं तव कृपा भगवान् ममाभि दुर्दैवमीदृशं वा न विज्ञानुरागाम् तृणारभिषु नीचेन करोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीयः सदा हरिम् न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीम् कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदाद्भक्तिरहैदुगि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्करम् पतितामांशमे भवाम्बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कज सिदधूलि सदृशम् विचिन्तयाम् नयनम् गलदश्रुधारया वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिर पुलगयमिदम् तदा वपु तव नामे ग्रहणम् भविष्यति युगायुधम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधम् शून्यायुधम् जगत्सर्वम् गोविन्द विरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरताम् विनष्टु माम् आदर्शनम् मर्महदाम् करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विगदा दुलम्बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु।